You are Manny Machado's brother-in-law, which I just learned in doing the research for this interview. And he's an all-time great player, but having spent all that time in the American League East, we hate his guts. Like, I just want that out there because it's right below the surface that we facing him 19 times a year as Blue Jays fans, he was not a fan favorite here in Toronto.
Right. I mean, listen, he's a really nice guy. He loves long walks on the beach, and he enjoys a lot of coffee.
All right. It's funny. I know you spent most of your career in San Diego, and you have a lot of Padres ties, but I think of you mostly as an Oakland A, and that's because I guess I follow an American League team. That ballpark, what is it like as an offensive player to stand into the box with that cavernous ballpark and all that foul territory?
You know, I think it's definitely an animal in itself to play defense there because you have so much grounds to cover. To hit there is just another whole different situation. You know, I think people don't realize how cold it gets also throughout the year there. It's a ballpark where I feel like it's a ballpark that is made for pitching. I feel like it's a ballpark made for young, athletic defenders. And I think we've seen it throughout the years and the history of the Oakland A's where it's a ballpark that is enriched with on-base percentage, enriched on good defense and good pitching and good bullpen. So when you have a young team like the A's do, there's a reason why they're 18-12 and they're first in their division in the American League West. There's a reason, and it's no surprise at all that, for me at least, that they're on top of that division. I feel like when you look all around that whole lineup, it is a lineup where it is completely filled with absolute just athleticism all around, from Olsen to Chapman to Luriano. It's a lot of fun to watch them, but at the same time, that stadium can definitely eat you up if you're not prepared for it.
Yeah, it's weird. We were watching the game last night, and Ben and I were texting back and forth, but it's just like, it always feels like Oakland has the same team, where it's plus defense,
right,
like you mentioned, the athleticism, and always on base percentage, where up and down the lineup, there's guys who guys who hit 260, but who have 340 on base percentages. You know, it's like, that's the whole Oakland team. And we were kind of discussing, hey, is that a fun one to watch? Is that one you want? But really, it is the team that a lot of baseball teams are trying to build, and the ones that, for at least us in Toronto, it's been the same thing over and over and over again, which is, hey, you want to find more guys who get on base, and Oakland seems to do that very well.
Yeah, well, listen, I think for the A's, they've been building this type of system for many, many years. I mean, I remember growing up and watching the A's, and obviously with Moneyball and obviously with all these things going on, listen, they're top 10 every year in on-base percentage. Right. And it's no secret. Once you play there, you start realizing why they are the way they are. I mean, I was saying this story earlier. I remember going to spring training, and the first day of spring training, we were in the batting cage, and it's 7:30 in the morning. And we were working on strike zone discipline. I mean, it's 7:30 in the morning. The first thing I want to do is take my hacks off a batting tee. And no, we didn't even get to that. I didn't start swinging 30 minutes prior until I was done with that drill. So it is in focus in the team philosophy, the hitting coaches, not only in the big leagues, but also in the minor leagues. Yeah. When you look at these guys, the staff that's there, all these guys play baseball. All these guys were hitters. All these guys understand what it takes to win ball games. And listen, if you get on base more, if you score more runs, you're probably going to win the game. So for them, it's just amazing. I remember when I was there, when I did start realizing how important it was for the strike zone to have a control of, is when obviously my numbers just blew up. So it's really cool when you watch these guys and their numbers. They're all very similar. Obviously, Matt Olson is just destroying the baseball right now. But you look at a guy like Jed Lurie, you look at a guy like Chapman, Luriano, Piscotty, Mitch Moreland. These are all good guys that have really high on-base percentage in their careers. So it's really cool to watch them obviously go to work and do their thing. But at the same time, they are a headache for an opposing team.
Yeah, what a concept. try not to make outs, and you have a better chance of winning baseball games. But yeah, that's amazing that not every team does the strike zone recognition thing. Talking to Yonder Alonso, is it different when you play for that team and you play all your home games in that ballpark? Because off the top of the show, we're talking about that game yesterday, and that's bottom two ballpark aesthetically in baseball. It's like the Trop. And you've got ODOT Co. Coliseum as the worst ballparks in baseball. Do you feel that way when you're playing there?
No, I did not. I enjoyed playing there. See, for me, I'm a guy from Miami. I grew up going to the Orange Bowl. And for people that don't know what the Orange Bowl was like, it was a hole in the middle of, you know, Miami, where there was so much tradition. It felt like when fans were cheering, it felt like the stadium was going to fall apart. And for me, I looked at the Coliseum as the Orange Bowl of the West. It was, for me, the fans that would go there were sincere. The fans that would go to the Orange Bowl were real. And very similar to the Coliseum. As you see, there's 10, 15,000 fans there, and it feels like it's 40,000. So for me, it felt like I was at home to an extent. I was obviously playing for the team, but I was also playing for the city, and I was playing for the fans that were there, that were really enjoying the Oakland A's and the tradition that it has. So I was always very fans of growing up with the white cleats. I was always just very happy. Remember my first days in that clubhouse. Each locker has a name of who's been there in the past. Believe it or not, there is a lot of tradition. It is very uncomfortable to play there, not only for a visitor, but for a home team. But once you get past that, I think, you know, if you get past that and you realize that 7 o'clock comes in and it's baseball time. And by the way, the field is in incredible shape there. I think people don't give too much credit on how good that baseball field is. Playing wise, it is one of the best playing surfaces out there. You get over that, and then it's game on. You know, it's not a big deal at all.
Talking to Yonder Alonso, yeah, it's great when the clubhouse doesn't flood with sewage, which happens on occasion. All right, so Blue Jays dropped the first game of this four-game set yesterday, and George Springer doesn't play after he was lifted the game before because he's feeling fatigue, and he missed about a month to start the season with this leg injury. It's been an awkward start for him. He's apparently not healthy enough to play defense, which is pretty well an admission that he's not quite at 100%, and now he's missing games. How much responsibility is there on the team to protect the player from himself? Because I'm sure George Springer wanted to play probably opening day and said, you know what, I can gut it out, and I'll figure out a way to stay healthy. I'll protect myself. And they said, hey, man, we got 6 years, $150 million invested in you. We're not doing that. What do you think when you see a guy being handled in this manner and him obviously wanting to play, but the team trying to protect its investment?
Look, I think always as a player, you always feel like you can just get over it. And as a competitor, you always feel like you can get over that hump. I think as a manager and as a training staff, it's their duty to kind of put that stop on somebody. I think they did an amazing job. I think the decision was the right decision. Look, you're talking about a guy that's not 21 years old. He's 31 years old, and yeah, that's very, very young. But it's a guy that you're going to be with for 6 years. It's a guy that, you know, we know he's only had 18 plate appearances, but, you know, he's not doing well. So you'd rather have a healthy George Springer than a 70% George Springer. You need him on defense. He is a very good defender. So I think for him, you want to have all of George Springer rather than half of George Springer every day. So I think they did the right thing. I think that for him, it's just a matter of staying healthy. It is a very long season. I think people sometimes tend to forget that is 6 months. Right, we just got out of the first turn of this Kentucky Derby long haul season. So you still got to go through May, you still got to go through June, July, August. I mean, it is a very long season. Take him out of the game, make sure he's 100%, because you don't want to do this in 2 weeks from now. You don't want to take him out and put him on the DL again, right? You just don't want to do that. So for him, it's the right thing to do to just take care of this thing. you've already missed pretty much all of April. If you miss a week of May, so be it. Because I'd rather have him for 23 weeks out of this 27-week season than have him for just, you know, 15 weeks and never be good, never be the same.
Before I let you go, Yonder, this Blue Jays team is full of second-generation major leaguers, and there's no one way to make it to the major leagues. I mean, you're an example of that. Family defects from Cuba when you're a youngster, and parents are working multiple jobs, and you're grinding it out and playing college baseball and eventually making it to the major leagues. How much of your success, though, was due to that? And did you look around when you finally made it to the major leagues and look at guys that had the advantages that I'm talking about, some of the Blue Jays had, and that you didn't? And what did that make you feel?
Well, you know, I think everybody that gets to the big leagues has a story of themselves, of their own. I never really, when I got to the big leagues, I never really looked at people's stories or said, hey, you had it better than me. I think there's so many people out there that had it so much worse than me. So for me, I think any single day that you're in the big leagues is an honor. But when you look at, obviously, Bichette, Biggio, Guerrero, and people don't realize this, but Lourdes Gurriel Jr., his dad was probably one of the best baseball players in all of Cuba. So at one point, these are all guys that grew up around the game. I grew up around the game myself. My dad was a baseball player in Cuba as well. So I was always around the game. But, you know, I think that for them, it's just what a cool situation to have, you know, four guys that their dads really, you know, played baseball at a very high level. And here we are watching the kids play. And, you know, I know they have this whole let the kids play, but we're really watching with the Toronto Blue Jays, let the kids play. And they're pretty, pretty good at it. So I know Guerrero is having an incredible season. I would like to see Biggio get off to a better start. You know, he's rounding up to 100 at-bats right now, but, you know, he hasn't gotten off to the really good start that we thought he was going to get off to. And it really is just a Guerrero and Bichette show. So I think these guys, once it gets a little bit hotter in Dunedin, I think the pitching has been tremendous. But once they do get going, I think this team is very exciting to watch.
Yeah, it already feels like Vladdy's team, which is really interesting considering where we were at going into this offseason and then them signing George Springer. And yeah, Springer comes back and we've had debates about, you know, who runs the clubhouse or even whether it matters. But the cool thing with Vladdy right now is he's raking, but I'm watching the game last night and I'm texting with Ben and he makes this pick at first base and Ben goes, he's going to win a gold glove someday. And I think it was Kevin Youkilis who was telling us that he thinks that Vlad is going to have what it takes to be just like an all-time elite defensive first baseman. Did you see that? Like when you watch Vlad, do you look at his defense at first base, position that you played, and say he's going to be one of the best defensively at that spot in Major League Baseball?
Man, look, before I answer that, I think you guys have asked like the greatest questions. I think people don't realize how important it is to defend, you know, and for asking that question, I thought it's a great question, but it's a lot easier when you're coming in from third base to play first base. For some reason it is. I don't know why. I did it as well. I came in when I was younger as a third baseman and then got shifted over to first base in college, and it was a lot easier. The question is going to be is, can he maintain his weight? Like, that's just, it is the honest truth. If you can maintain your weight, you can play defense. If you can maintain your weight, you stay healthy. If you maintain your weight, you can run the bases. And if you maintain your weight, your bat speed will always be up. So for him, it's all about stop eating late night snacks, like he was saying that he stopped eating, and maintain your weight. You know, it is very, very hard to maintain your weight during season because you're traveling, you're getting in to the hotel at 3 in the morning. You're probably hungry from the day. You know, you're on a 4-hour flight, and you land somewhere and you're like, I need to get something to eat in my body. So for him, it's just sacrificing those type of nights to make sure that his weight is right so that way he can defend. I think he has really good hands. I wish he would maintain his weight even better so he can play third base. But, you know, now we're seeing him at first base, which is totally fine. I think it's a plus for him and it's a plus for the team. But any time that you can maintain your weight and you can be flexible around the base, around the bag, he's only going to get better. So I think the sky is the limit for him defensively just as much as it is for offensively.
Dude, that's such an overlooked point that you just made about you're traveling or you're at the ballpark and you're there all day and, yeah, there's food at the stadium, whatever, but you end up playing a game, you're a little tired. This is just a thing for all of us, right? Like every person listening to this right now, when you're like, hey, don't snack late at night, everyone's like, yeah, yeah. No, that's the life struggle, you know? That's you're basically just going through life and trying to limit the amount of snacks that you eat at night. That's all of us. But if you're on the road and they're saying, hey, stay in, you know, like fans go, hey, don't go out on game night. Don't go out drinking. Don't go out and celebrate or don't go out and have too much fun. Stay back in your hotel room. There's only so much you can do before you just get bored and eat when you're just, hey, yeah, I'm in late. I'm tired from the flight. Everyone does that exact same thing. You get back and you say, I need some type of reward. And I'm sorry, but watching highlights on the crappy cable TV in the hotel room is not going to cut it. Trying to hook up your video game,
you know, and the options
is not for
are limited.
Everybody. Right, exactly. It's like, what are you going to do? Well, I'm bored. I'm going to eat. Like, you only have so many options for the reward. It's if you don't play video games, I don't know what you're going to do if you're going to be staying in the hotel all the time. Like, eating is really, 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 again, underappreciated, I think, by the common person who does the exact same thing whenever they travel or have a long day. What do you say to yourself? You go, I'm going to have crappy food tonight because I'm tired and I don't want to think about anything else. And of course, major leaguers and of course, professional athletes would think about it the same way. Of course.
You know, I think for me, it comes down to the actual Toronto Blue Jays taking a stand on it, right? If I have a guy who I think this guy can be, right, just as good as his dad, and those are very high praises. His dad, obviously, as we know, is a Hall of Famer. But listen, if I'm the Toronto Blue Jays and this guy, I'm invested so much in him, what is it to not just invest a couple hundred thousand dollars on a guy like this and give this guy the best option to stay healthy, right?
Oh,
like
sure.
if I'm the general manager, Ross Atkins, I'm just saying, you know what? If I'm Mark Shapiro, the president, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hire a guy that travels with the team and they can have the best options when we get to the city. For breakfast, they can have the breakfast that we recommend. For dinners, they can have – and I know they do that at the ballpark, but a little extra, right? A little – a guy that can be in the room, a guy that can be – that can facilitate these type of meals for a guy like this because we're seeing it, guys. I mean, look, if we have a healthy Vladimir Guerrero Jr., we're going to have an all-star. We're going to have a potential MVP. And you know what? They're going to have a winner. They're going to have a winning team because if he goes, the whole team goes. So – I'm going to do everything possible to invest in this type of guy, in Vladimir Guerrero. This is my company. The company is Vladimir Guerrero. If he stays healthy, the company will be great, right? They'll be a Tesla. They can be hybrid. They can do whatever they want. But if they don't do those things and they don't keep this guy healthy and his weight is a big part of that, then, you know, then the team is not going to be so good. So I think with him, the sky's the limit. I think if he just stays healthy, if he can take care of his weight like he has been doing, we're going to see what we've been seeing in April, which is no surprise at all because in spring training, this guy killed it as well.